Hello, Mzanzi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzanzi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by One IFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I'm your host, Duncan Masiwa, and a warm welcome to you. Now, in this inspiring episode, we meet Kitso Munyadi. Our casual conversation takes place on the home of the Mzanzi Young Farmers Indaba in Pretoria North. Now, what started out as a casual chat turned into an impromptu recording session with one of agriculture's brightest stars, I believe. Now, you might hear the occasional hum of a small aircraft overhead, but don't worry, it's authentic, unscripted, and full of insight. Kitso is the co-founder of Batlale Baramutla Farms and leads a health and wellness enterprise rooted in indigenous knowledge systems and biodiversity. In this episode, I discover how her innovative approach has birthed unique products like powered oyster mushroom capsules, hemp-infused healing teas, hemp gin from hemp pie beverages, and a personal care range co-developed with the University of Pretoria, backed by over 25 years of research. Let's hear her story. We're speaking to Kitso, and we sort of started this interview on the back. We are on the side of a Food for Mzanzi photo shoot where we're meeting a couple of farmers based in various parts of the country. Kitso, so for someone who has not heard of you, a brief introduction. I mean, I've read your bio and it's quite impressive, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. For someone who has not met you, they don't know who you are, who's Kitso?
Kitso Munyadi is a young entrepreneur. She's a farmer, she's a businesswoman, she's a mother, she's a caregiver, and she is an innovator. I always tell people that I'm a farmer first and then I'm an innovator straight after. I am the founder of Batlale Baramutla Farms. Batlale Baramutla Farms is an eco-friendly farm that's situated in Pretoria North. And we grow vegetables, seasonal vegetables like spinach. Currently, we have spinach in the farm. We do hemp as well, and we do off-layer chickens. We are the sole supplier of off-layer chickens to Zorzi On Demand. That's a wholesaler that helps us with distribution. And then from the hemp, we not only use it as a soil remediator on the farm. Because we're organic, we don't use any fertilizers, so it makes our soil really, really fertile. And all our produce is very nutritious and big, and it's sort of like crazy how the spinach grows and it's three times my hair. It's amazing, the produce that comes from the farm. And from the hemp, we delve so much into agro-processing, where we agro-process the hemp into teas. And the hemp teas are infused with many different botanicals for a flavorful taste. And then we also just recently launched the gin, where it's a blend of the gin and the hemp. And I always tell people this is a perfect blend of both just slightly tipsy and little bit high-ish, not too much. But it's so smooth on the palate. It's not bitter at all. It's very lovely. We're still working with the designer to perfect the labeling. And then the best part of our manufacturing part is that we have recently gone into collaboration with the University of Pretoria. Because we deal so much into indigenous plants of South Africa, we have formulated a personal care range from these indigenous plants. The profiles of the ingredients have been studied under the supervision of Professor Namrita Lal, and these are specifically targeted to heal various skincare issues like acne, uneven skin tone. It helps with wrinkles, hyperpigmentation, and a lot of other things. We also have in the range stuff for SPF. Everything in the range will give you an even skin tone. It's like a collaboration of sorts into the actives. We took one for even skin tone. We took one for anti-wrinkle. We marry it together and then it produces like a perfect blend to the skin where it hydrates. It takes away wrinkles. It takes away dark marks. It's so...
She talks about wrinkles while looking at mine.
No! You don't have wrinkles at all, I swear. You have like the perfect face. I swear, no.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You started out in agriculture. Yes. Here you are in skincare and health care. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a bit. Tell us about your beginning journey. Where did it all start?
Well, I feel like I'm living my ancestors' wildest dreams because my grandparents were farmers in Matapanstad in the Northwest. And they were farming livestock, not only Bonsmara, but it was like lamb and other things. And also they did fruits and vegetables. I remember at home, we had like almost every fruit tree you can think of, from your fig to pomegranate. My mom used to brag to everyone. My mom used to brag to everyone saying, you know, pomegranate, it's so expensive at Woolies, but we have it in our backyard. You know, it was like crazy. So I got it from there. But then to start on my own capacity, I started selling hard body chickens as a side hustle to supplement my income, because at the time my mom had just passed away and I had to take care of my younger siblings.
How many siblings are we talking about?
It's two siblings, two younger siblings. I'm the oldest of three from my mom's side. And I had to start living with them and taking care of them and become a caregiver. And then I was like...
Wow, how old at that time? Sorry.
Well, I was 22.
Sure, become an instant mother.
Yes, but for me, it was an easy thing because our mom always like held us together. No matter how she struggled or what she was going through, she always made sure that we were always together and taking care of each other. So it was that thing where when we were living apart, before I found my feet, I was like, no. I have to get the kids with me. So I got a place with a yard and then I got them in there. Then I was like, okay, how am I going to make money? I thought, you know, hard body chickens, in my language, we call it makekerepa. A lot of people love them, but in terms of getting them on your plate, it's so hard. I mean, you have to chase the chicken, you have to slaughter the chicken, you have to plug the chicken, to wash the chicken. It's a tedious job, right? And I was like, no, let me make it easier for the consumer and bridge that gap. So then I became a supplier to individual clients, just everyone around. My business just started as word of mouth to everyone who was enjoying the chickens because I knew how much my mom liked that. So I just wanted to make it easier for everybody else to share that. So it was kind of like a rippling effect where I prayed to God, you know, I was like, God, I have this Wendy house. It's a 3 meter by 3 meter and I want to get chickens in there. And I'm in like a township, so I don't know if this will affect my neighbors, but I want to put the chickens in this Wendy house. And then God was like, no, let's find you a bigger space. Where I was renting, the owner said he's selling, then I had to find a place. So I started looking for a house, and then I bumped into this farm. On the internet, it was listed by 11 agents, and I was like, maybe this is a sign, you know, because I went on the internet looking for sweets, but then I saw this farm. Because I wanted to buy sweets for courier in from Cape Town, sweets for the kids, and then I was Googling the address I was in at the time. It was Hartbeespoort. And then I found this farm, it was listed. I was like, this is a sign. I called the agent. And they were like, no, because it's the farm, you have to pay 40%. And I was like, this is not going to stop me. And I went to view the house. Immediately when we drove into the yard, my siblings were like, Gizu, you have to buy this. That time, I don't have a cent in my name.
You know, expensive.
It was like crazy, you know. And there was this farm. It was, I think, 1.9. And then I got in there. I was negotiating. And then I was like, okay, I'm not going to get far by negotiating myself. I called my banker and I was like, I really, really, really want this house. And it was far beyond my means. You know, it was a lot. It was just short of 2 million. And 3 months before, I tried applying for a 600,000 bond and I got declined. So the odds were against me. But you know, when God says yes, no one can say no. And my banker did the application. I got approved. And then that was it.
This is you applying for something that in your mind, the world is saying there's no way possible that you keep going to succeed at this. Exactly. But you did it anyway.
Exactly. I did it anyway. And then it was just God's hand and validating that, you know what, you should actually pursue this farming thing and you'll take it from there.
Sounds like your faith in your spirituality plays a big part in
it. It does. You know, sometimes we tend to forget that God is always ahead of us and God is always aligning things in our favor, that sometimes we forget to pray and we're like, you know, because the world is just a lot sometimes, and then we just forget that. But you must always remember that God is always on our side and God will always make a way, always, no matter what we go through. It's nothing to God. He knew that we would go through this. The thing about God, he'll give you the end vision, but he won't tell you how to get there. And in the middle, while we're getting there, we go through a lot of like thorns and a lot of everything that's bad. We just have to push through it and we'll succeed at the end.
Yeah. So obviously your journey is not without challenges.
And not at all. Yeah. I think not only me, but every farmer goes through a lot. Especially when you're farming on thousands of hectares, a lot can go wrong. A drought can happen, or too much rainfall can kill your crop. It's a lot of either this and that, but we just have to find a happy medium to maneuver around everything. Then everything will
Tell me a bit about those challenges. What has been some of the biggest challenges that you've faced in your farming journey?
I don't think there's so many challenges that I would say have been terrible or heartbreaking to me. I've just been very lucky in terms of, okay, if something doesn't work out the way I plan, I just move on to the next thing. I'm such an innovator that I think of a solution and not dwell on a problem. Because with the teas, this is how Empire Beverages started. It was a tea range. From one flavor, we moved on to 9 flavors. And then I saw that, okay, it's summer. People aren't so fixated on hot beverage. Then I was like, okay, for one of the ARC exhibitions, I was like, let me do an iced tea blend so that people can cool down in the summer. We can chill it with ice. It's good and stuff. But then I saw that that's not feasible because there's a lot of other things I have to add, like preservatives to make it last longer and so on and so forth. But then I saw that actually the iced tea blend made a perfect mix for a gin. And then I was like, okay, well, that's a market we can tap into. Let's go for it. And because my partner is so supportive, he just like, you know, supports every wild dream I have. He just says, you know what, Gizzo, go do your thing. You know what you're doing. And then I contacted this distillery in Cape Town, Spirits of Africa. I spoke to Michelle. I was like, Michelle, you know what? I need a gin, but I do hemp. Let me send you the raw material. Let's formulate something. She was like, it was say no more. And now we're here. You see, we have a tea range, then we have a gin range. So yeah, we're always innovating, always thinking out the box. We never let anything limit us.
Why is that so important for you, innovation?
Innovation is important to me because I want to be sustainable. I want to have a sustainable business. And me, with my 1 hectare farm, I won't be producing in mass at such a small space, right? So I need to have byproducts that are going to help my business become sustainable. Making sure that my business can run. Because the thing with product, it's very easy to produce fresh produce, but you can't export fresh produce at all. But a product you can. And that is what people want globally, is a product. So I've managed to create various products so that, you know what, my kids will enjoy, my family will, you know, get employed. Other people would get employed, because right now we are on this mission where we have to make 100 million jobs for 2063. So I want to make sure that, you know, I create enough viability for people to have jobs, for people to become business owners, for people to be inspired. Take from what I've done, perfect it even better. There's so many creators out there. There's so many people that have a passion for farming, but just don't know how to make it grow into an actual product. I'm here to help. I'm here to guide. And I want to share this vision with everyone.
I suppose that's where the social entrepreneur comes in.
Yes.
Yeah. Your 1 hectare farm, what is it that you grow there?
Well, we grow hemp. As a soil remediator, it's like the base is spinach and in between is the hemp. to ensure that everything is fresh. And we also have mixed herbs like your basil, your thyme, mint. Just the small blends that we have in the tea. So that's what we intercrop with.
Yeah. Okay. So there's an intercropping system. You know, finances, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Agriculture.
Definitely.
When it comes to your budget, how do you decide how much money is going to your spinach, how much money is going to your cabbage, how much money is going to agro-processing side? How do you think about that kind of budgeting?
Well, it's hard to budget when you don't have an actual budget. But you always look at what is your priority in terms of getting the mission done. Most of our budget went into formulating the skincare range because we had to buy the actives from the extractor, and then we had to pay the manufacturer for the formulating of the products, and with farming, there's a lot of things that come up. Like water, if you don't have a borehole, the water bill will go sky high, you know, like electricity. If you need something inside a greenhouse to make the hemp grow excessively, you need lighting, you need fans, you need a lot of things. So I'm just trying to make it to everyone that you don't necessarily have to cry so much about what you don't have. Start with what you do have. Because, well, my inability to have a borehole didn't stop me in terms of growing excessively on the farm, you know, and planting. Because people understand, you can always negotiate with people, you can always find terms to make everything work, and a lot of applications help. There are so many people out there just waiting to hand you free money, so everybody must just apply for everything that they see.
Thanks, Kitso Munyadi, co-founder of Batlale Baramutsa Farms. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.fruitfulmzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team FruitfulmZanzi, thanks for listening.
Africa's dopest gathering for young farmers is back. Don't miss your chance to join the who's who of agriculture, from top-tier experts to game-changing farmers, at the Mzanzi Young Farmers Indaba on the 1st and 2nd April 2025 in Pretoria. Early bird tickets are now available, so head to farmingindaba.com to get your full access pass for a discounted price. That's farmingindaba.com for early bird access to a full access pass. Don't miss out.